Louise McSharry on 2FM.
With Cadbury Brunch. When you need a proper break, brunch.
How to be an adult. So Janet Healy, she joins me here and we're going to be having a little chat about this. There's more pressure to play happy families at Christmas than any other time of the year. Death, divorce and estrangement can mean that many people don't see themselves reflected in the traditional Christmas marketing. So others simply prefer to holiday alone away from all of the fuss. So on today's How to Be an Adult, I am joined by psychotherapist Janet Healy from Reflecting Mind Psychotherapy. On how expectations around Christmas can be challenging. Hello and welcome.
Hi, Blonde. It's nice to be here.
And do you know what? I said this before you came in, but your voice is just so soothing. I love it so much. You just have this air of calm and tranquility about you. The studio is just so much more relaxed with you here. Thank you so much for coming in. So it can be a difficult time of the year, can't it?
Absolutely. And I think for all kinds of reasons. And I think, I suppose, in light of the experience that we've all had this year with COVID, we're probably all having to readjust to a new kind of Christmas this time round. But and I suppose perhaps it might also put us in touch with the kinds of considerations that some people have every Christmas. So while at the minute there's all the panic around, are we or are we not going to get to the pub? Can we meet our friends and all of that? Can, you know, will I be able to spend time at over Christmas with my granny? For some people, every year involves that degree of uncertainty, anxiety and stress. And I think it's really timely that both we reflect on it in the context of all of us having to make accommodation, but also an appreciation really of the challenges that are there. And when we think about that, we might think of it in the first instance about how people who either aren't there or who are unavailable will affect it. So, for instance, you know, there's one in five families experience estrangement. And effectively, when we're talking about estrangement or being shunned, we're talking about the experience of either parents not having contact with their children or adult children who've decided for all kinds of reasons of dysfunction, you know, physical, emotional abuse, not to have contact with their families. And so all of us will know or have had some encounter with estrangement in the context of familial experiences. On top of that, I'm also thinking that we associate Christmas with being a time very much focused around children and gift giving and Santa. And for people who are struggling, say, with fertility issues,
yeah,
or people who are childless and not by choice, it can be an incredibly difficult time where the sense is that when we're speaking of families, we're talking very much about children being at the heart of that. And if you are in a situation where that's something that's a real live and ongoing, you know, source of concern and worry and disappointment, then that can be particularly challenging.
Yeah.
In instances, and I suppose maybe keeping it with children for a minute, if we're thinking about divorce or separation, for some families this year, Christmas will be very, very different from how it's been and the traditions that we might associate with kind of ritual, you know, experience and familial gatherings. And I'm thinking here as well for, particularly for non-resident parents, for whom waking up on Christmas morning may not be the experience and the shared experience with children. And that can bring up all kinds of challenges and frustrations and disappointments. And I think one of the things really important to bear in mind there is the importance of planning in advance for that.
Yeah.
That really there might be, and sometimes often well-intended, the tendency to offer children the choice as to which parents they would like to spend Christmas with. But ultimately, children in that circumstance are very rarely making a decision based on their own desire, but rather out of the anticipation of disappointing one or other parent. And I think it can be really useful that while children have an input, that ultimately that can be something that can be negotiated between parents. And on top of that, I suppose we might also think about isolation and loneliness as being a very profound and very deeply affecting experience, particularly at times where all of the focus is on people getting together. And of course, that sense of isolation and loneliness can be for all kinds of reasons. You know, it might be as a consequence of a bereavement and the sense that this is the first Christmas without somebody.
Yeah, that can be really, really difficult. And I know people who experienced that the last Christmas, and it was really hard.
Yeah.
It was really hard for them.
Absolutely. And equally for people perhaps who've retired, who maybe over the course of the pandemic have lost their jobs and they're missing that social contact in work. I mean, we kind of forget sometimes we perhaps spend more time with our colleagues and families.
Yeah.
In instances, we spend a huge amount of concentrated time. And particularly people working remotely, you know, the old Christmas party and the opportunity, really, I suppose, to be able to bond and connect with colleagues in a social context has really been taken away from many this year. I was also thinking of it in the context of people who either started college or people who perhaps may have recently moved here or moved here just prior to the pandemic and for who might have intended on returning home for Christmas. Equally, there are people who don't celebrate Christmas at all, you know, and that sense of feeling, well, what's my place in this? Do you know what I mean? And do I have a place or, you know, for all kinds of reasons outside of that. And then people who are kind of isolated or lonely as a kind of a consequence, I suppose, of any health circumstances this year, because equally that might well mean that they can't be visited or can't have contact with family. Mm. But also the mental health challenges, I suppose, that we're all aware of at the minute that COVID has been, you know, has really brought home, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of, there's plenty of reasons there why people might find this time of the year quite difficult. But I think you mentioned it there, planning.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, do something that you would like to do. Make plans. Like, you know, decide, okay, I'm going to watch that movie at this time of the day. I'm going to eat this delicious meal at this time of the day, just to kind of plan out the day.
Yeah, and sometimes it's more just being aware that there are choices. I think there's so much around family tradition and ritual that really feels like even to not do that is almost an unthinkable thought, you know, for fear of reprisal or accusations or, you know, oh my God, well, why wouldn't you be here? We always do this, you know, and that sense of anticipation of what that might bring. I think it's also, you know, if we're thinking of it in that context, it's also that home isn't always a safe place for people. Mm. So I'm thinking particularly, you know, and we're in the midst of, I suppose, you know, the focus on domestic violence and experience in circumstances in which the home just simply is not safe, either because of abuse or trauma that may have experienced in the past or might be continuing and ongoing. So the idea of returning home or maybe that annual pilgrimage, you know, for Christmas can be fraught with all kinds of worries and expectations of either seeing somebody who you might associate with those troubles in the past or equally just the potential for confrontation if you don't show up.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the demands that we might experience around Christmas on time and the expectation around that can be really useful to think about what it is and what time is available to you. But while understanding the boundaries around that can become very compromised in a family situation, because in some sense there is a regressive element to it. We will be the child again in relation to the siblings and in relation to the parents, regardless of our age.
Yeah, actually, and we have a text in here saying, I get huge pressure to go home to my parents every Christmas because I'm the single one. I'm also expected to do all the shopping and cooking, and this year I'm putting my foot down and staying by myself. My siblings are going between pitying me or being angry for not going home like always. No one has ever asked me what I want. Should I just give up and go home, or should I just deal with being disliked by my family this year?
Well, I think one of the things, if we start from a position of holding on to an expectation that Christmas need not and does not need to be perfect, you know, in a sense. So there are the expectations that others will have of us, but it's really important to be able to remain in our own shoes in terms of what is good for our own mental health and well-being. And that sense of having to kind of like almost like get drawn in and play along with a particular role, if the resistance is there, then in some sense the question is, why does it feel that feels so compelling? So in that instance, that person is really saying, listen, I'm not going to play this game anymore. I'm going to step out and I'm going to try and create the space for myself here. And I think that's often, I think in situations where we feel compelled to repeat. And sometimes repetition can be lovely. It can give a felt sense of connectedness and renewed joy and all of that kind of good stuff. But if that isn't the experience in your family, or if it really highlights the sense of the lack, what there never was, but what there's an attempt to kind of like almost like force in those circumstances, it becomes a very loaded situation. So everybody is kind of out of sorts in that circumstance. And so I think it is really important that we feel that you can make those choices for yourself.
And and take the control back a little bit.
Absolutely. And be armed, because I think people do come with the question, you know, what are you going to do for Christmas? You know, and sometimes that's a really difficult question to answer. But you know, saying I'm staying on my own this time, I'm spending it with friends, I'm choosing to do X, Y or Z. That becomes, I suppose, at least a statement of an intent to do something different.
Exactly.
People will probe. But if it gets to the point where the answer is, I have a really challenging relationship with my parents and mm-hmm. Christmas is difficult. Well, then that generally brings the conversation to a close.
It does. You know? Yeah, it absolutely
But often
does,
it's the anticipation of the question that can bring up the anxiety. And so in some sense, the anxiety can be alleviated by just naming something.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know, rather than feeling, oh God, this is a secret that's going to be discovered in some way.
Exactly.
You know?
I'd like people to keep sending in their questions on 51552. We're going to have a little ad break and a song now. Some great advice. So Janet is going to stay with us. So keep those coming in. 51552. This is Code Jack with Schmelly on 2FM.
Louise McSharry on 2FM.
With Cadbury Brunch. When you need a proper break, brunch.
Welcome back. Blana Tracy in the hot seat today for Louise McSharry, and I'm joined here in studio by Janet Healy, Reflecting Mind Psychotherapy, and we are talking about Christmas and how it's just a little, it can be different for people with different family circumstances. And actually a few people have sent in some texts. I'm going to read these out and Janet's just going to give a little bit of advice. So we've got one here saying, I'm a vegan and I have been for over 8 years. My parents refuse to give in to my fad. So for 8 years, I've been only able to eat carrots and red cabbage and microwave my own dinner. Everything else is cream cheese or duck fat. So it's always a butt of the jokes. I can have Christmas with my flatmates this year. How can I explain that I don't want to spend time with them, but I want to eat my diet. I want my diet respected.
Mm. Yeah, I think I think really what's at the heart of that question is, and maybe is also the frustration that in some sense, you know, when we're at home, it's the place in which we are assumed that we are most known. And perhaps that's not the case, you know, but also it's the manner in which perhaps decisions and choices that we've made into our lives as adults either may or may not be accepted by the family.
Yeah.
And I suppose what I might extend to and include within that may be circumstances and situations where a family aren't accepting, for instance, of yourself and your partner, your LGBTQT identity, all kinds of things that may come into the mix. I think in that particular instance, I think it's really important. And I think the acknowledgement there of the opportunity to be able to spend that with friends is there. But equally, we kind of load a lot of pressure and stress into Christmas as the one day. Mm. And I think you'd alluded to it earlier on in our discussion about that possibility of being able to share and divide time.
Yeah.
Being able to be let it known that actually, you know, while, you know, there's a desire to spend time with the family, equally, there's an opportunity to be able to celebrate and choose to celebrate that with friends. I think this year, perhaps above all other years, is offering opportunities to change the record when it comes to ritual and tradition. Mm. And I think it's really important to appreciate too that ritual and tradition start somewhere.
Yes.
And so the opportunity of being able to start new traditions are always within our charge. And I think particularly if we think about family tradition and ritual that change for all kinds of reasons, for all kinds of circumstances, situation, people move, you know, they aren't able to travel, all of those kind of things.
Yeah.
But equally, it can be very difficult in a situation where the expectation is that the family's going to get on board with, for instance, a dietary, you know, circumstance and such. And that in some way, the expectation that, well, maybe this year it'll be different. And I suppose in this instance, we're thinking 8 years on, they are not adapting to it.
It's like, come on, guys.
Exactly.
At a certain point, they have to just accept.
Yeah. But
you're
part
a vegan.
Of the pain, but part of the pain can be accepting that they're going to change their tradition in order to accommodate this. And that might well never happen because we really have little control over what anybody else does.
Exactly.
But we most definitely have a choice as to what we can do and or whether to give that power away and have that sense of a repeated experience of feeling rejected in the family owing to those circumstances. You know?
If you're somebody in the family who's kind of slags their brother or their sister answer for being a vegetarian or vegan. Like, take on board what we're saying and actually,
absolutely,
you know, they don't want to eat that food.
Absolutely.
It's not a big deal.
Or perhaps contribute a dish where people might be inclined to tuck in
exactly.
and try something.
Exactly. I've got a few more texts here. So it's my first year sharing Christmas duties with my ex-partner. At the moment, we have decided to share the day between my home and his. I'm worried about us fighting and ruining Christmas if we spend it together in one house. Is this the right thing to do?
I think it very much depends on the conversations that you're having in advance. I think Santa is a great man, and he's well aware actually that children will spend time with both parents. So I think that that's really important. I think that it's also that Santa understands that that happens, and so it really being very clear, being very open about the plan for the day, not leaving any doubt or question or concern for the child, because often in the absence of information, a child will create all kinds of fantasies as to why this is the way. I think the sense of the presentation of a united front can be challenging, but I think it really is that opportunity to be able to model good boundaries, you know, clarity, and not leaving a child holding the ambiguity within that context. I think there's an appreciation to be able to name for and speak for the child about how important it is that they understand and that both parents understand that it is a different Christmas this year, but here's an opportunity now for us to form traditions that we can do. So there might be something that we'll do at mommy's house or daddy's house, that new opportunity to be able to create those memories and experiences are what most important, and that felt sense of presence by both parents and a unified sense where possible.
Lovely. That's great advice. We have another text here. So this sounds silly, but my sisters are coming to mine for Christmas and they hate my cat. Her name's Minty. I obviously love her, but they will moan the whole day that the cat is inside. Should I put her outside just to avoid the fight?
Well, perhaps that's something that could be, you know, if you're I'm appreciative of the fact that this is your home and the cat lives there. The cat is part of the family.
Yeah.
I think if there's a sense to which there's an opportunity for compromise between both, where there's a sense that each individual's position is being respected, but that is, I'm thinking, for instance, is there a possibility of being able to come to some decision around, well, is the issue around maybe the meal and the cat being around or crawling all over the place, you know,
while you're trying to eat
your dinner or those kind of things. Are there opportunities to be able to break it up? Are there ways in which the day itself might allow for natural transitions and doing different things, you know? Because in some sense, there's a lot of boredom-induced bickering that goes on Christmas Day.
It's
and
true.
The cat will get it, you know? The cat is the easy target in the instant. And actually, it's an identifiable target in advance. So there might be, it might be worth just a little bit of conversation in advance,
okay,
but also an appreciation. It's your home, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're also acknowledging their
compromise.
Exactly.
That's it. And we've got time for one more question. Actually, we've got quite a few questions. Thank you all so much for sending those in. But we have time just for one more. When us siblings all get together, old drama always comes up, then ends up with silent, crappy rows. Last year, my sister wanted to sit in my seat at the table and we ended up not talking until February. What? How can I keep the peace? Like, we're all in our 30s. They're all in their 30s. Kind of funny, isn't it? But listen, families are complicated.
Absolutely. And there we have a case of a self-identified peacemaker, you know, and what I might suggest is that perhaps not stepping into that role, because in some sense, as she identified, we're all in our 30s, you know what I mean? There's something here. I think what could be really good is looking after your own mental health and well-being.
Yeah.
If that means that you kind of know that come 4 or 5 o'clock, things just start to just, you know, go a little bit south, that's the time to go for a walk. That's the time to, you know, take that opportunity to call a friend or to check in, you know, or to do something.
Maybe go for a swim.
Yeah.
Or lots of people are doing that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Or maybe a board game with very simple rules. It can become about the board game and maybe less personal.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, that there's an inevitability, the regressive quality, the fact that the tradition and ritual is something that for all of us, we can hang on really tight to. But what's interesting is it's anticipated. This happens every year.
Yeah.
So in some way, it could be an interesting, you know, experiment just to try something different that allows you to be able to take that time out. That if you have a partner there or, you know, a friend that you know that you can call and say, listen, it usually gets a bit crappy at this time. Mind if I give you a buzz? You've got options that allow you to take yourself out of it. And that's one less person in the dynamic who's willing to play the game. But also your withdrawal can shift the dynamic also.
Totally.
Not that you cause it, but that all of a sudden each person isn't playing the part. And if there is no peacemaker, well, then what happens?
Mm.
Do they have to find another way of trying to fix it? And then you don't become embroiled in it.
Exactly.
You know, trying to appease everyone and sort everything out.
The one piece of advice I think that you're kind of giving everybody is take control.
Absolutely.
Of your own time and the way that you spend your time.
And be very appreciative of the fact that if somebody is really, I'm thinking of this, if we've friends and partners who are struggling with Christmas, I think it's really important to bear in mind, nobody wants to be difficult at Christmas. Nobody wants things to be challenging. But the truth is that it can be so overwhelming that it really, being able to support one another, to be able to take the time out where possible, can really just take some of the heat and the energy out of the day.
Exactly. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate that. If people would like to get in touch with you, how can they do so?
They can catch me on Instagram at Reflecting Minds and Reflecting Minds Therapy. They can find me on Twitter at Janet Minds, and I'm on Facebook as well at Reflecting Minds Therapy.
Fantastic. Janet, thank you so much. Janet Healy from Reflecting Minds Psychotherapy. We really appreciate your time. Thank you for all
Thanks,
amazing
bonus.
Advice.
Louise McSherry on 2FM
with Cadbury Brunch. When you need a proper break, brunch.